The opening scripture is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And I know that each of you have different translations that you bring, but I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation because somebody made mention about what the new year is showing you, and what the Lord is showing you coming into the new year. And this is just a question. We live patiently for the return of the Lord, but along that way, a lot of things happen in between, and will continue to. So if I were to ask you, just in general, would you be people that would believe that we could very well be living in what the Bible calls the last days, with what we're seeing happening all around us? Okay, so this is how this reads in the Passion Translation. But you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce and difficult for the people of God. I'm going to be like any. I don't want to hear that. I'm going home now. Y'all can read it. I'm going to leave. No, it's true. Extremely fierce and difficult for the people of God. People will be self-centered, lovers of themselves, and obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. Slaves to their desires, they will be ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good and right. With brutal treachery, they will act without restraint, bigoted and wrapped in clouds of their conceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of this world more than the pleasures of the loving God. They may pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from people like these. And I really believe that is a very clear, I wouldn't call it a warning, but a word that we can't deny the spirit behind the world, how evil the Antichrist spirit really is. And as time goes on, some of us were going to school in the 60s, and the things that we've seen change in our lifetimes are phenomenal. It always seems like we've always been at war somewhere. Jesse, your future looks bright. There'll always be a need for your service. And some of us in here as veterans, it seems like there was always a war somewhere. But this is a spiritual war, and it's being played out in our nation. And it's the spirit that's behind it. It's really the spirit of Antichrist. But Paul encouraged Timothy about just being accountable to the Lord for his walk. And I think that that's really important for all of us. We don't want to get sidetracked by all of this stuff. But our counsel from the Lord would be, don't let it sidetrack us. Don't let us get distracted. Be about whatever God has called each of us to do and to be. And it is the most riled up in my lifetime that I've seen as a nation, except during the Vietnam War. Things got pretty radical for a period of time. That was back in the 60s and early 70s. But this has taken it to a new level that I've not, I don't know, Priscilla, Barb, Sue, I mean, we're all pretty close to the same age. Would you not say that now is similar to that, but it's a step beyond.
It's scarier now.
Yeah, people have no restraint about how they exercise their evil doing. It's blatant and right in your face. But we as believers, it always seemed like, well, it's not. This is our country. This is America. It won't be that way here. But if you really read the fullness of the scriptures, all the scriptures, it talks about that this is going to come upon the whole world. And this is just a Rick thought, okay? I'm not saying that the Lord inspired me to say this, so I want to make that clear. But when last year we all heard about the COVID virus, I found it was most interesting. And it was just my observation, was like a dark, evil blanket had descended upon this globe that 188 nations out of the entire world suddenly were enveloped, like a shroud of darkness came over us. And all the language was the same in all the countries. Masks, social distancing, all the buzzwords, how uniform that was throughout the whole world. It was like it was by design. And now everybody's excited about the vaccine, but let's take it to, oh, we really need to check that, because we need to keep everything locked down and under control, because we don't know if you can still infect somebody if you've been vaccinated. Can you still carry COVID and infect somebody else? And, oh, there are two more strains of it now. And it's like a continuous attempt to keep this whole world in a lockdown and manageable condition. And look at how easy they got us to wear masks. I was a holdout. Yeah, but you know, I had an attitude about that, but then I've come to a different attitude, is that in the Lord, our future and our hope is in Him. We can't look to our president, we can't look to our politicians, we can't look to people. Our hope is in the Lord. And yes, God does anoint and raise people up for periods of time to serve. But people, we can't let people be our hope. We have to stay fixed in the Lord, because He's the one not only got our back, but He's got our future. Our future is in Him. And every fiber of our being needs to stay focused on that truth. They can make us wear a mask, but they can never get what's down in here. They can make you say whatever to get by, but they can't get what's in your heart.
I always forget my always.
Yes, well, always remember we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We are marked people, and God knows, and all of His angels know who belongs to Him. And so even as though we see all of these things coming, and I believe before the end of this next week, we're going to see it even worse. A tremendous, sudden escalation. No, I didn't hear anybody say it, but I just, you know, when your spirit gets agitated, like it's, and I think of Paul, the word used, he was vexed in his spirit about the lady that was selling statues of Diana in the book of Acts. I think it was Acts chapter 16. And he knew something was wrong. Something wasn't right with this lady that followed after him, and almost was in a mocking way, oh, follow these men, they're of the Lord. Follow these people. But something didn't set in his spirit. She said all the right things, but there was something about the motive, about her heart. And Paul was a great discerner of spirits, but he couldn't do anything about it, and he didn't do anything about it for several days, because the Lord hadn't given him a revelation of what spirit he was dealing with. And as soon as the Holy Spirit told him, you're dealing with the spirit of divination, instantly Paul responded to the call. And it ended up, he got thrown in jail for a few days. And then the earthquake came and the Philippian jailer got saved, and along with his household. But even though we see what's going on, we need to be able to also have discernment. Discernment is going to be really key to whether we win or lose. Mm-hmm. And as things get tweaked a little tighter, just a minute, Gary. We need to remember our foundation. I love that you started off with that song this morning, because in it is a real strong key to whether we win or whether we lose a few battles along the way. But Jesus has already gone before us to prepare our victory. And no matter how outwardly things seem to be so bad, there's just something that we have that they can't get out of us, and that's Christ.
And I'm sorry, Jim, what are you discerning for, by the end of the week? What is it that you discern in your spirit that's going to start happening?
A reaction to the truth that's going to come out.
Okay. All hell is going to break loose, you mean?
Yeah, basically. But you know, I'm not chasing after. I've had my ears open, but I haven't heard a lot more about that to reinforce that, except that some of the prophets are changing their word now to give themselves an escape route in case it doesn't happen. And I'll tell you, I have heard that they've added something now, that America hasn't repented of its sins. And so they're now making their prophecy contingent on that condition that America has to meet. So I'm trying to rule all of that out and hear what am I hearing in my spirit, because if I go following after these things, there's been people that prophesied all these years ago that days that the Lord was going to return, and a lot of things that were spoken never came to pass. One of them involved COVID, and it was a very well-circulated prophecy. I got it from several people that I know very well, and that on May 22nd, God was going to speak a word and COVID was going to be instantly gone off of this planet on May 22nd. It was just all of it was going to be gone, and all that were affected by it were all going to be healed on the same day. Well, that prophet is now in hiding because people would want to tear his Adam's apple out, like you said, for that word. So I like hearing those things, but I also believe I'm growing in wisdom and discernment, because I think it's important that as believers, you need to hear from the Lord for you. Okay, the word says that Paul was vexed in his spirit. It means he was troubled inside about something. He didn't have peace about this particular person who came and was making a big scene about follow these men, for they show us the way of God. It was good. Most churches lacking discernment would have put her in charge of the evangelism committee, hooked her up with Tom with Jesus' Lord tours, because without discernment people say a lot of things. But the key came when the Holy Spirit, because discerning of spirits is one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It's not a guessing game. It's a specific word that the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul, because as soon as he got that word, then he responded. And he commanded that spirit of divination is witchcraft. It covers witchcraft, magic, putting spells on people, those kind of things. Well, she was making statues of Diana. And you have to remember that where Paul's missionary journeys took him, there was a lot of Greek mythology. There were a lot of gods and goddesses statues. If you were to tour Greece and Turkey, Italy, that whole geographic area, even to this day, you would find many monuments and statues that were dedicated to different gods and goddesses. And she was making statues to Diana, which was a very lustful sexual goddess, and was really perverting the nation and influencing them. And so that was a very important discerning that the Lord gave him to be able to deal with it and stop it in its tracks. And so, yes, my prayer is that because of the fact, I know I did those manifestations of the Spirit, I try to bring some of those back every 5 to 7 years with intent, because we forget, we get lax, we let our guard down, and we're always growing and looking ahead for a new word or something. But discernment that the Holy Spirit gives you is going to give you a specific spirit that you're dealing with. I could summarize it. It's the spirit of Antichrist. But the spirit of Antichrist has been here for generations. It's just that it hasn't found a favorable atmosphere to manifest itself so present until more and more generations have been re-educated, shall I say, or indoctrinated into a godless society that the scriptures in Timothy are talking about. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of the real, true, living God. And I'm talking about Antifa, the leadership of Black Lives Matter. These people are right to the core. They want to tear down this nation right to its core and rebuild it starting in 1619. And that's a very, very it's an Antichrist spirit, because America was founded on godly principles. And yes, I'm not proud of all the things that happened to our nation in the beginning, but what I'm proud of the most is the fact that we've learned and growing out of that as time goes on. So Father, we as individuals, but also as a body, we know that we're being warned in the scriptures, don't let our guard down, keep a watchful eye out, rightfully discern the times that we live in. But you've raised us up for this generation, for such a time as this, that you have gifted us, you've called us, you've enabled us, you've anointed us to not let our guard down. And Father, we ask you for the Holy Spirit to give us discernment concerning the spiritual battle, the spiritual warfare that we find ourselves in now, that seems to be intensifying and very quickly. And we thank you, Father, that it is true. We have a firm foundation. But the Word also says that in the end times that many will be shaken. It's one thing to be shaken, it's another to fall. And Father, thank you for strengthening us and enabling us to take our stand and to not be moved, but also with great discernment. Lord, we need discernment now in our workplaces, just places in general that we go, to rightfully discern and to not just guess, because guessing is very risky, but discernment has great benefit to us. And I thank you that each one of us, because we've asked, we also ask for your wisdom, godly wisdom, in how to conduct ourselves. That we live to be an example and a witness and a testimony of lives that were touched and changed by your Holy Spirit. And Father, many won't even know what's going on, and they're going to run many places looking for answers and looking for help. And many will turn to you. And may we be ready May we be ready to be warriors in season and out. We can't just roll over and just sit quietly by and let things happen when you've appointed us to key geographic areas. That's why we all live where we live. It's not by accident. It's by choice and purpose and design. And we thank you that we can each be effective in the realm of influence that we each have. So, Father, thank you. Discernment is really important. And help us to recognize it and to know how to deal with what your Spirit shows us. That we're not to freak out, and not to worry, and not to let fear take over, but to stand strong and not be moved. In Jesus' name, amen. It does, and that's what I meant about we're here for the season. It's not by accident that for such a season as this, because we need to be ready to let him take us along that journey and not get sidetracked. So I tried to be balanced in that, but we do need to be aware. Otherwise, God wouldn't have even bothered to write this to warn us. So you got to see both sides. Yeah. Quick huggy break, and we're going to have communion together today as well. So I'm glad you also became today, so that we can sit at the Lord's table and feast together. Well, the balance in all of today is coming together to the banqueting table of the King of Kings. If you would please turn with me to the book of Hebrews for our communion scriptures this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in chapter 7, 7, 8, 9, and 10 are a great portion of scripture to help us to better understand our high priest that we have in the body of Christ. And it's a good background laid by the writer about the ceremonies, the law, the commandments, but also it talks about the new covenant. There were seven in the old, but only one in the new. Starting in verse 8 of chapter 10, above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. And he's talking about the covenant that he made. I want to stop there for a minute. Lo, I came to do thy will, O God. David said that. Jesus said that in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Sanctified means to be set apart, called to be separated or separate, and made holy. And it says we are sanctified. That means it's the present term. It doesn't mean we're going to be. We might be. It says we are. Present tense. That's really important, because then you can appreciate so much more what the blood and the bread represent. And he says, once for all, that means it's not going to happen again. Jesus came once as our sin offering, but he won't do it again in that regard. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Let's just pick that apart a little bit, because there's a real clear distinction made between the sacrifices under the old covenant versus the one sacrifice under the new. And that's a big difference in itself. You studied all those things too, and there were so many sacrifices, just numerous sacrifices. But the thing of it is no matter what it was, it could not take away our sins. It could only cover them over. And the priest had to, every year, the high priest had to make a new sacrifice. And one lamb per family. A family of 8 to 11, I found that that was a large family, but one lamb. But every year that family had to produce a lamb to be sacrificed, and it had to be a male lamb without blemish, without spot or wrinkle, which was a type of the one lamb, the Lamb of God that was to come. Remember John the Baptist at the Jordan River, he looked up and he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Singular, meaning the sin nature of man. It was dealt with once for all, forever. And I like the way it's written, because it tells me that we don't have to look for another. We don't have to look for any other way. He is the way. He's the truth and He's the life. But it also shows me that every time we come together for communion, or some people have communion daily because it's a healthy thing to include in your daily spiritual diet. But the fact of what it represents, because it was a one time. That's it. It sounds simple, but it's a very profound truth, so that it never needs to be repeated, and it won't be. By which will, the will to do God's will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And he talked about the priests standing daily, going through all of these rituals. And there was nothing wrong with them. God gave us the law and the commandments, but it was as a schoolmaster. Two things it revealed. God's commandments revealed what his righteousness is. To be able to see God's righteousness revealed in his laws, in the commandments, all 613, not just 10, or narrowing it down to one, but all of them together represented his standard for righteousness. And Christ was the only one that could fulfill all of those, and he never sinned. And yet, because he was God in the flesh, he fulfilled all the requirements of the law for righteousness. But now in Christ, God has declared us to be righteous. And that's really important, because whether we feel like it, or whether we think we are, or whether we slip in and out of that, that truth doesn't change. And that's a wonderful thing, because we can mess up our walk in a heartbeat. But we don't undo the covenant. And the offering that has been made is for just such times. It just is. It's there for us. Constantly. Because our righteousness status doesn't change. Nor does what Christ did change. And so, this is a wonderful, wonderful little portion of Scripture that really puts that in perspective, because a lot of times people think, boy, I really missed it. I can't. Surely God's going to not look on that with favor. Well, you have to remember, though, that before we were created, and even before anything was made. God's law of, or his salvation plan, was in place, and he knew us even before the foundation of the world. He knew each one of us. And it never came to the day when God was wringing his hands and says, I just can't believe they did that. What am I going to do? Freaking out up here in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, it is a hallelujah. This is the happy part. This is the balance where we look at things from his perspective. And if he says that we're sanctified presently, I resist the temptation to follow after people who teach exactly opposite. Oh, you're not sanctified. You have to work that out. God's working that in you every day. Oh, I hear that over and over and over, and it's like they're robbing and taking away what Christ did. So you have to understand some things that happened at Calvary. If God said that by the blood of his Son, you became righteous, he didn't say you could be. He didn't say you might. He didn't say, you know, with a bad attitude like Eeyore's one day, oh, you just lost your righteousness. You're in deep doo-doo now. That didn't happen. These are established biblical truths, and they're solid. What he did, it's already been done. And when Jesus, his last words were, it is finished. I gave all of myself, everything, for you. So don't try to add to it. And that's what's happened. People try to add to something and then take their add to list and try to put it on others. Beat you up and make you come bawling and squalling to the altar every week and beat you up and tell you what horrible sinners you are. Boy, I had to turn off a lot of TV channels I watched that were preaching that stuff. Because that can get you down in a rut in a hurry. Because what it's doing, it's undoing. It's actually blaspheming the holy work of the cross. The good news is this. This is really good. Because it talks about how powerful that work really was. And it was, because it's in the past. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, himself, for the sins forever. That's a long time. Sat down on the right hand of God. He says, well, Dad, well done. The second Adam, or the last Adam, if you will. And from henceforth, from that time forward, expecting or waiting until his enemies be made his footstool, because that day will come at his second coming when all the enemies in this world, all the evil spirits, Satan himself, all of them, the one final battle is going to be fought, and Jesus won't be losing. You can be sure of that. And neither will you or I. We may lose a skirmish here and there, but we're never going to lose the battle. We're not going to lose the war. Amen. That's why I talked about the other scriptures first, because this just brings the balance back. It doesn't matter in the end. What matters is how are we going to live our lives while it's happening. And we'll live our lives properly because of what Christ has already done. We won't do the wrong things. We won't get into fear, because once you get into fear, it's hard to be afraid and at the same time release your faith in the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So it's important that we continue to keep our minds renewed and to be reminded But verse 14, for by one offering he has, past tense, perfected or made complete or made perfect forever. You have been made perfect forever. I just want to pause so you can think on that. Because the enemy would come in a heartbeat and try to steal that word out of your heart before it has a chance to take root. Them that are sanctified, the sanctified ones, the called out, the chosen, the adopted, the body of Christ, each believer within the body. These things have already happened, and that's your true state. This is our true identity. And so it's a wonderful celebration. It's not a time of sadness. It's a time of great joy, really, when you think about what happened for you and for me, for each of us. It's like you don't put retreads on your car too often. Once they blow off, you have to keep replacing them. Or you get a hole in your tire and you put a patch on it. Well, we don't have to keep repeating sacrifices. We don't have to keep repeating rituals. We don't have to believe in reincarnation. So that each time you come back a little more purer than the life you just left. Until you ultimately reach that point where you can live on top of a mountain in a temple as a monk and never see another human being all the rest of the days of your life. See, different religions, they try to copycat what Christ did, but they won't say it, and they won't give him the credit for it. Man has developed religion, but God invented Christianity. And that's the one true big difference. It's not about religion anymore, it's about relationship. So as we bring this around to you, let's rejoice together.